I'm here this morning with Sol Lebovic. Sol is our consultant on the annual Lowy Institute poll and has been for several years. Sol was the founder and director of News Poll, which is one of the most respected and credible polling organisations in Australia. The News Poll brand is very strong. News Poll itself is sadly being disbanded on 30 June this year, which is a source of great sadness to us. But Sol, how long was News Poll in business for as an organisation?
It started in 1985, October 1985, so it's been going all those years. It took a long time in the early days to get it established. There were a lot of other polling companies that were the so-called name at that stage. Mm. But I think after about 10 years, it sort of became one of the leading polls. And by the 96 election, it was regarded as the poll in Australia.
Mm. So the gold standard. That's 30 years, isn't it?
Yep.
That's a long time. How long were you with them for?
21 years.
Right. Okay, so we latched on to Sol a few years ago. We needed a very wise consultant on our own polling, and we use a consultant in order to help us devise the questions to make sure that they are bulletproof from a statistical point of view, and then we also use Sol's expertise to analyse the results and make sure that anything that we're commenting on is actually statistically significant. Now, on that point, Sol, this year, I was wondering if you could describe what we did this year in terms of increasing the sample size and what benefits that brings, if any.
Okay, the Lowy poll, since its inception, has been based on 1,000 interviews throughout Australia, a nationally representative sample of 1,000. Last year we did an extra 150 in the younger group, the 18 to 29-year-old group, because we were interested in that particular group in terms of the questions about democracy. This year we increased the sample nationally from 1,000 to 1,200 as a representative sample of people of all ages. Now, the benefits of that, obviously any larger sample is always going to provide for more accurate results. But apart from the extra accuracy or we can get from the 1,200, what it enables us to do is look at demographic and geographic groups and draw conclusions from those with greater confidence, which because the 1,200, in fact, bumps up the sample size in all age groups, in all areas of Australia, all education levels, etc. So it enables us to, in fact, make the data richer because we can look at subgroups with greater confidence.
Mm. What I've always thought interesting is how the dividend in terms of the error margin actually is reduced as the sample gets bigger. So the real dividends in terms of the efficiency and the error and the accuracy of a poll seems to occur when you increase a sample from, say, 500 to 1,000, and then the dividend that you get as you increase the sample further gets smaller. So, for example, the error margin on our 1,000 sample was around 3.1%, and the error margin on our 1,200 sample is about 2.8%. So it's marginal, but as you say, it's really important in terms of analysing the views of those subgroups, of those demographic subgroups within the broader sample. Would you say that's a fair summary?
Yeah, that's right. It's very much a law of diminishing returns. And one of the things about sampling a lot of people don't realise is that it's independent of population size. So a sample of 1,200 in Australia is just as accurate as a sample of 1,200 in the US, for example, which has probably 10 times the population basis. So it has nothing to do with population, but it is very much a law of diminishing returns to the point where you can never really be 100% confident that the number you're getting is exactly the number. There'll always be a margin of error around the number, but that margin reduces. When you get to around 2,000, for example, you double it from 1,000, you mentioned was plus or minus 3.1%, to 2,000, you're only down to plus or minus 2%. So it very much is a law of diminishing returns.
However, that does, in terms of the accuracy, that does very much rely on the composition of the sample, doesn't it? And that's why we try to match our sample up as closely as we possibly can to the Bureau of Statistics data on how the Australian population is made up in terms of age, gender, highest level of education, and also geographic location. So can you just describe how we do that? Making the sample as representative as it can possibly be.
Yeah, a national sample of 1,000 or 1,200, for example, isn't as accurate as a sample that you set quotas for. Just the laws of chance, for example, if you just did a random sample, you mightn't get too many people in WA, whatever. So what we make sure is we have a quota for each geographical area. We then have quotas by age and sex within those states so that we make sure that we get enough people in each cell so that it can be representative. Now, we in fact oversample the smaller states because sometimes we want to draw conclusions about the views of people in those smaller states. So we build up the sample there to make sure that we've got a good enough base to be able to draw those conclusions.
Mm.
Then when we've got our quota sample, which may not be truly representative of the population as measured by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, we then weight it back to the ABS data so that the final composition of the sample, in fact, is a true representation of the Australian population.
Mm. NewsPoll, the organisation that you were associated with for so long, uses a similar method, doesn't it, with its own polls?
That's right. When I set up the NewsPoll system, it was very similar. There were quotas set for each area. Geography was broken down into states and within state, capital city, rest of the area. And that whole process was similar. So when we take a news poll that the Lowe Institute have conducted this year as part of this year's poll, the sampling framework and the weighting of that data is very similar to what we've in fact done with the Lowy poll this year. So we can be confident in making direct comparisons between the two and drawing conclusions from that.
Yeah. One of the things when we had this little conversation last year about the 2014 Lowy Institute poll, I asked you what you thought we could do, what more could we do in a perfect world if we had, you know, an unlimited set of resources to direct at polling. And one of the things that you suggested was that we could do more polling, of course, but specifically you said in relation to polling about, you know, specific issues of the time, so to be a bit more responsive about particular issues. Now, this year we've done exactly that, and we took an extra four polls using NewsPoll. So we took four polls over weekends, and we were able to get results 2 or 3 days after the end of the weekend on some specific issues, and they were the death penalty, the executions of Andrew Chan and Myron Sukumaran in Indonesia this year. We asked questions about military action in Iraq, and we asked questions again in May about the aid budget cuts. So, you know, is that something that you think is worthwhile, Sol, in doing, taking those sort of snapshots of public opinion at particular times rather than the longer-term view that we take from year to year?
I think it's a great idea because what it enables you to do is to measure things at a particular point in time following certain events, and you can gauge the reaction, the public's reaction to those events by taking that poll. And if anything, I think, you know, we could do it more often, and maybe, you know, for certain key policy areas, do it once, twice, three times a year when certain big events in the real world have happened, and to measure the public's reaction to those real-world events. And I think that's the fascinating thing about polling. It's the changes in people's attitudes over time that is the fascinating thing.
And sometimes we find that their attitudes don't change. For example, we asked a question in February in our main poll about whether Australians thought that the government should lead an international push to abolish the death penalty worldwide. We asked that question both before and after the executions of the two Australian citizens in Indonesia, and the responses were almost exactly the same. So sometimes they don't change, and sometimes they do change, and I think that's quite interesting as well, measuring the things that stay the same.
That's right. No change can be a very interesting finding in itself. That we had a real big real-life event happen then, and yet the part of the population that felt one way didn't grow at all. It stayed as a constant. So people who were on the opposing side, obviously that event, even though as large as it was and as much media coverage as it got, wasn't enough to shift those people's attitudes. And I think that was a major finding.
Interesting one. Whereas we asked a question, as we ask every year in our Lowy Institute thermometer, about how Australians feel towards a range of certain countries, and the sentiments towards Indonesia dropped quite significantly this year. There was a drop of 6 points in sentiments towards Indonesia, from 52 degrees and a warmish feeling to 46 and quite a cool feeling towards Indonesia. So that was one of the things that did change in response to the publicity around the executions, but there are things that haven't. Sol, just one last question. Every year we have a mix of new and old questions. The split is, you know, around 50-50 or 60-40. Some of the questions we've taken from polls asked in other countries around the world, some of the questions we've asked ourselves for many years in a row. Can you just describe, you know, what we call tracking questions? What's the function of a tracking question? How is that useful to us? Because we have quite a few of them now.
Yeah, well, tracking questions, the beauty of that is that we can, what we're doing there is trying to measure the real shift in people's attitudes. To be able to do that, we have to keep the question identical from year to year. Or if we're making comparisons to other countries, we have to use the same kind of question that has been used in other countries. Sometimes it has to be slightly adapted, but at all times we try to keep it as close as possible. If we have the same question and the same methodology being employed to measure that question, then we can draw conclusions either over time in Australia or across countries to know the difference in attitudes from different cultures and different countries, how they feel to certain issues. And I think that's one of the more interesting findings of polling, when you can make those kind of longitudinal measures and track that kind of information or compare it to other countries.
Mm. We now have 11 years of Lowy Institute polling. Our first poll was published in 2005, so it's about a decade ago, but we've just done our 11th annual Lowy Institute poll. Sol Lebovic, thank you very much for coming in and talking to me today, and thank you for all your help on the many polls that you have contributed to. Thank you, Sol.
You're welcome, Alex.